Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want to look like a cool mom? Yeah, you want to look like a cool mom. Does your mom want to look like a cool mom? Yeah, she does. And everyone looks a little cooler with a tattoo. Jessie Hopeless, the amazing tattoo artist you heard on our show, she hand-drew a sheet of 6 temporary mom tattoos. So hot. Get them for Mother's Day at longestshortesttime.com. Plus, buying your Mother's Day gift from our store, it helps support our show. Go to longestshortesttime.com and hit the shop button. When you're expecting a baby, it's common to take some time to write out your birth plan or, you know, birth wishes. But you know what no one ever writes? No one ever writes, "I plan to give birth in a car." But it happens, and when it does and everyone's okay, those parents get really good at telling that story. This is The Longest Shortest Time. I'm Andrea Salenzi, and today we're packing as many car birth stories as we can into one episode. Here's what we did. On a cold evening in March, we opened up our phone lines to listeners who had their babies in cars. The show's going to be call-in style.
Baby born in my car. Beep, 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 yeah.
We've got producer Kristen Clark in the control room screening calls, and I was told that these first callers had their son in a taxi cab.
We are rolling. We are so ready to go. I've got Chris and Carrie on the line in New York City. Are you ready to hear them?
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Who did we give birth to? Who's this a story about?
Hudson.
Hudson, like the river.
Yep. The odd part about it was that that name was picked out months before we had him on the Hudson River. Because we had them on the West Side Highway. Yeah, so it was overlooking the Hudson River.
I want to see you.
Oh, hi, Hudson.
You say hi, Head?
Hi.
He's 4 and a half now. So this, he, you know, I don't know if he remembers what happened.
I'm going to guess not, but...
Yeah, exactly.
My baby brother's turning one.
Oh, that's so cool. You have a little brother?
Yeah.
Where was he born?
At the hospital.
Where were you born?
At the Hudson River.
So the doula was like, "Let me check." She's like, "Yes, that's the head." And she was so calm and wonderful. And she got into like the well of the seat in the back. And she's like, "We're going to have this baby now. Chris, you might want to turn around because your baby's about to be born." And Carlos, the driver, just kept driving. And like Hudson just kind of pushed himself out into the river. He kind of just, it was fast. And he was totally, he was great.
There was a baby.
Yeah. And
like
we had, 10 more minutes until we got to the hospital. So we just held on to Hudson and And then once we got to the hospital, we were trying to get in to the hospital before I had to give, give birth to the placenta as well.
So that happened at the hospital.
Well, no, because they weren't quick enough. The doctors weren't quick enough to come out. And so the reason why we wanted to get into the hospital for that, because that part is actually even messier than giving giving birth to the baby. So yeah, so that was why we gave lots of extra money to Carlos.
You're right. It would have been a little less money if the placenta hadn't happened in the car.
Right, exactly.
Actually, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, the hospital was a little quicker and got her inside. It actually was not that bad until that point.
Were you guys charged for the whole birth ordeal by the hospital or partial?
No, it was partial. They definitely, no. I remember looking.
It was a lot cheaper.
and they didn't charge us for any of that stuff.
Okay, so now we are going to Kelsey in Minnesota. Welcome to the show.
Hi. When we had left the house, the baby was already crowning, and my husband said, no time for pants and no time for shoes. And so I was wearing a tank top, disposable underwear, depends, because I didn't want to worry about the mess of labor, and a big blanket that I had pointed to when we left the house, and my husband ran and got it. And it saved our car from any evidence of birth.
Oh, is this the product of your car birth? Is this Jordan?
Yes, that was Jordan.
What's Jordan's middle name?
It would be Carr, and I spelled it K-A-R-R, just for some fun. But it was going to be Jordan Bennett, and so we changed it just to kind of make a memorable point in his name.
How memorable was this for you, John?
It was crazy. There are details I will never forget, like leaving the house, Kelsey doing all the work while I'm, driving 70, 75 miles an hour up Highway 100 towards the birth center.
I would not look at the speedometer. I was too scared.
Her calmness is probably the only thing that kept us safe.
How did you find that calmness? Where did that come from?
We'd watched birth videos during our education class, and because of the videos, I had been able to imagine myself in a tub for birth, reaching down and feeling my baby, and I wanted to be the one to be able to bring the baby up out of the water, and so it was just happening the same way, but in a car without the water and the serene environment.
This is in the front seat of the car. Right?
Yes.
Is that an okay position in the passenger seat?
I mean, it worked. I was kind of like tilted to the side over the middle console thing. And so I just made it work however I had to, I guess.
Hello, Stacy in Salt Lake City.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. Where are you off to?
We are just picking up and dropping off kids. I actually just picked up my 14-year-old who was born in the car from play practice. So she's here, too.
Can I ask her name? What's her name? Can she hear me?
Ashlyn.
Ashlyn.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Do you remember being born in a car?
Oh, absolutely. Every moment.
Do you think it's giving you a special relationship with cars in your life?
Well, I mean, with minivans, yeah.
Oh, lucky you. It was a minivan. I just got off the phone with a Honda Civic birth.
It was a gray minivan, apparently. And every time we pass by that spot in the highway, we have a moment of silence.
So how did you end up on the side of highway giving birth to this now 14-year-old?
She was my second baby, and my first baby was just completely normal. 12-hour labor in the hospital, normal. And so this one, I wanted an all-natural birth in the hospital. And so I started into labor, and it was moving really quickly. And I didn't realize at the time how quickly it was moving. I thought I had hours and hours and hours left to go. And we got in the car, and it became very apparent very quickly that she was coming. And so my husband ended up pulling over to the side of the road and catching the baby.
Wow. Did you do the placenta also in the minivan?
No, the placenta was pretty stuck. So I ended up having to have it removed in the hospital, which was actually worse than giving birth on the side of the road.
Interesting. Why is that?
Well, because she came so fast and furious, and then they basically had to manually remove the placenta. And I hadn't had any medication, of course. And the medication that they did give me in my IV once I got to the hospital didn't do anything. And so that part was worse than the actual labor itself.
Do you think it's because it was baby number two that she came so quick?
I Ashlyn.
No, but is that true that Ashlyn's personality is kind of like, I'm here, let's go?
Oh, yes.
Very much.
Oh, yes. I think she engineered it all. She thought it would be funny.
What became of that car?
So they loaded me and the baby into the ambulance and took us to the hospital. And my husband followed behind us in the minivan covered in birth goo. And I guess the next day he took it in to get it detailed and get it professionally cleaned. And when he got there, they had to call the police and verify the police report of what had happened in the car. So they made sure they weren't cleaning up any evidence from a crime or a potential crime scene.
Oh, my God. Who knew?
And the one I feel really bad for, he said it was just some poor 18-year-old boy who had to clean up after this birth in the car. And I thought I probably scarred whoever that was for life.
No, but I mean, wouldn't it be way worse if you had murdered someone and thought, oh, I'll just get the car detailed? Let's go to Michael. I hear he's in the car, too.
Hi there. We're crossing over from the 10 onto the 405. Andrea says, the baby's coming. I can feel the head. And she's like, it's right now. And so she slides her pants down. She's in the front seat. I look down, and sure enough, there's the baby's head. And so we pull over. We're on the overpass. We pull over. There's no shoulder.
Oh, no.
I hop out. We call 911. And 911 is great. They will guide you through the whole process. So they told us exactly what to do. You know, and we had the baby there in the middle of bumper-to-bumper traffic. Fortunately, the EMTs came about 10 minutes later. All of a sudden, there's like 10, you know, EMTs and firefighters swarming around the car, which apparently is pretty common there, we found out afterwards.
Oh, do you think car births are more common along the 405?
Huh. I think so, because I said, like, here I am thinking, this is crazy. And they're like, oh, the firefighters are like, oh, yeah, this happens all the time. You know, Timmy over there, he did one last night. And, you know, so apparently it's not as big a deal in L.A.
Baby born in my car. Beep, 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 yeah.
See, I told you that these stories really deliver. Okay, coming up, Kristen says we have someone on the line who gave birth in a cab and someone who's got tips on how to run a red light. Don't speed away. We're going to be right back.
Advertisements.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Ha 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 And we're back. Who do we got on the line, Kristen?
I think we've got Rebecca in Iowa City now.
This is a birth that happened in Copenhagen.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
So, husband calls the taxi. I decide to go use the bathroom really quick before we leave. While I'm in there, one of the really unpleasant facts of childbirth is oftentimes you poop while you are pushing the baby out. And I thought, I think I need to poop. And so I thought, why don't I do it here in the comfort of my home rather than in front of other human beings? And so I bore down just slightly, just enough to make my water break. And then in that moment, I had this gigantic transitional contraction. And what a transitional contraction is, it's when your baby moves from your uterus into your vagina and you're like, oh crap, I'm having this baby right now. And in that moment, I thought, what do I do? Do I stay here in this tiny apartment with my sister and my baby and my, you know, toddler and have this baby, or do I try to make it to the hospital? And I decided to try to make it to the hospital. So we jump in a car and we go tearing down the highway because immediately as soon as I get in the car, I start screaming that I can't have a baby in a cab. And the driver's going as fast as he possibly can.
Did the cab driver hesitate for a second? Like, no, you can't get in here? Or did he get it?
No. I didn't start screaming until I got in the car.
Good. You held it together.
Kind of too late at that point. Yes. So my husband later said he did not think I was serious until I took my pants off. And that's when he realized that things were pretty dire.
Are you both in the back seat of the cab?
Yes, we were both in the back seat. It's twilight, so you can't really see what's going on, you know, other than just me freaking out. Yeah. So then we pull up, and at this point, the baby's head has been born. So the cab driver jumps out of the car and runs for dear life to go get somebody. My husband gets out of the car and runs around to the other side of the car. And in that, like, moment that I'm alone in the car, I have this, like, sudden urge, like, I've got to push the baby out. What if something's wrong? And so I, like, barely push, and he, like, plops out, like, on the seat next to me. I didn't even have the, like, forethought to pick him up or anything. And so my husband opens the door and sees my son, like, laying there on the seat and picks him up. And, you know, and the best part about it was that I remember seeing his little face, and, aww, like, immediately he started to cry, and I was, aww, like, okay, thank God, you're fine. Everything is fine. So, but the other thing I thought was amazing was they're like, yeah, can you, like, walk over here to this gurney so we can wheel you inside, which, you know, the baby is still attached to me. So I'm, like, holding the baby, trying to, like, hold on to every shred of my dignity by, like, having one leg still, like, in my pants, you know, like, you know, it just must have looked ridiculous.
Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. By 11, my wife's water broke. By 1 a.m., she was in labor, and by 4 something, like, it was on. And so this doula on call comes, and she's like, okay, it looks like we're pretty more advanced than I thought. And after consulting with my wife and calming her down, who is running from room to room, that's her style of natural labor, evidently, she says, take your wife into the bathroom, see if you can feel ahead. And I took her into the bathroom, and I got to about my first pinky knuckle, like the first one. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we hop in the car. My mother-in-law's there. She drives the doula's car, so she's following in, like, this little tiny Prius. Meanwhile, I have this BMW lease that I used to work for them. Nice car, right? This 3-series sedan, very sleek. So I'll just tell that part now. Definitely cleaned it out, got it deep. I cleaned it out as best I could, took it to the detailers. They did as best they could, kind of started to smell about a weekend, and I handed the keys back to BMW and said, here you go.
Quick question inspired by a past caller. When you took it to the detailers, did they have to call the police to make sure that...
No, I didn't get that. And I was like, oh, I didn't get that. I must have gone to, like, the back alley one where you could pay them to get rid of bodies or something.
But they don't ask questions about lots of body fluids. Good. Send me that address later, just in case.
Right. They're like, oh, congratulations. They gave me, like, a gift card for their service or whatever. So we get in the car, and we're thinking, it's like 30 minutes to Stanford, you know, which is in network. We're definitely up to date, our, you know, up to amount on our deductibles. So, like, we want to have our baby there. And we make it like 4 minutes. And my wife's like, this is happening now. And so the doula and my wife are in the back seat. I'm in the front. They got this beautiful little aura going between the two of them. They're totally in sync. I'm hitting every red, stopping, running every red, because it's like 4-something in the morning. I pull up next to a police officer, and I'm in the turn lane at a major intersection, waiting to turn. The baby's already born. my wife is, you know, they're having this beautiful moment. It's actually an amazing birth. But the cop's right there, and I'm like, if I can get this dude to give me an escort, we can just blow through the rest of these, right?
Whoa.
And I don't know if guy was coming off shift or something, or if he's, I'm pretty sure he saw what was going on in the back seat, and he would not make eye contact with me. I'm across my passenger, because he's going straight, I'm in the turn lane left. I'm across my passenger seat with the window open, trying to flag him down while my foot's still on, you know, the pedals. My wife's like, why is it so cold? What's wrong with you? And finally, I'm just like, screw it. And so I just run the red. I'm like, if dude chases me, there's my escort. People are going to stop for his light, so let's just do this. So I'm power slow, like I said, just, you know, going for it. And so this son was born at like probably 85 or 90 miles an hour.
Wow.
Pull up to the ER, and they sent one dude out there with a wheelchair. And he saw my face when I pulled in on the power slide, and he's like, I could just see in his face, I have gravely misjudged this situation.
Wait, power slide, so you told me it would be like a Steve McQueen-style power slide. That means your car just kind of right into the hospital?
Well, rear-wheel drive, I was going for it. I've done some racetrack training for my previous jobs, and it was, you're trying not to bounce everybody around, but you're trying to get there as fast as you can. You don't want, you know, everyone's unbuckled. My wife delivered on all fours. You know, I got this new son in the backseat. It's kind of harrowing trying to balance the whole thing. So get there, and then people just start pouring out of everywhere to come help. They let me cut the cord in the backseat, which is really awesome. Ripped off my shirt to get baby skin to skin, which was cool. But then I'm just walking around this hospital covered in, you know, birth goo and blood. And my wife delivered the placenta upstairs, and eventually everything was fine and turned into leaves. And on the bright side, we didn't have to pay for doing the delivery because we kind of covered that ourselves.
How old's your kid now?
He just turned 2 in March, and he is a calm maniac. He is everything you'd expect from having a birth like this. He's a million miles an hour, totally in control, you know, way too calm and way too smug about what's going on at all times. But he is extremely reflective of the situation.
Okay, we got to go now to Bethany in New Jersey. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. 20 minutes later, my water breaks while I'm sleeping. Just in my bed, breaks across my bed. And I jump up, start screaming, Seth, oh my God, oh my God. And so we jump up, and I jumped in the shower because water was coming everywhere. And I jumped in the shower, and I didn't turn it on. I was just standing there as the water was flowing out of me, and I'm already in transition. I'm screaming my head off. Like,
oh my gosh.
I was already in the last stages of labor. And so I'm standing there, and I don't hear my husband, Seth. And so I go back in our room, and he's still cuddling with my daughter. Just lost it. What do you think you're doing? What part of it? We have to go right now? Do you not understand? And he jumped like I've never seen him jump in his life. And he jumped out, got dressed, got me, put a dress on me, and no pants, thank God, because my water had already broken. And we called our babysitter. She was back within minutes. I don't know how she did it. And we ran down the stairs. And I had 2 contractions just going down our stairs. And we don't have a lot of stairs.
Whoa.
And so we're standing on my porch, and my husband's on the phone with his mom just saying, like, come and relieve the babysitter, because she was here until 3 a.m. and now she's back here at 7:30 a.m. Like, you need to come relieve the babysitter. And so his mom is like, so how are the kids? What have they eaten? What should I do with them?
He's like,
today?
No, mom, can't do this now.
Yes, that's exactly what he said, and then he hung up on her. And in this, like, back of my mind, I was like, oh, well, that's actually, I've never seen him do that before. That's really funny that he just hung up on his mom. Wow, she's going to be really upset about that. We're driving, and he's like, the light turned on our corner, and he's waiting. We have to take a left, and he's waiting for other people to go. I'm like, just cut them off. This is the only time in your entire life you can just cut someone off, cut them off. And he looked at me like, Bethany, do not backseat drive. And he looked at my face and was like, okay. Okay, honey. Whatever you say, I will do whatever you say. Whatever. And so we get on Route 1, which is like the major road going south down to Princeton. And I was like, this is not happening. I am not going to make it. And he said to me later, he knew on the porch that we were never going to make it.
Oh my gosh.
And so I'm like, why did we even get in the car? And I think it's just because we didn't want to have our baby in front of our kids and our babysitter.
Oh.
But I said to our babysitter on my way out the door, I'm totally having this effing baby on the side of the road. Like, that was the last thing I said to her on our way out the door.
How much of your brain is thinking about pushing versus not pushing?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I was just like trying not to push. And it's, I liken it to when you had food poisoning and you have to have diarrhea. You consciously do have, you poop. And it does feel like that too, because pushing feels like pooping. But there's basically no controlling it. But you can just only hold it in for so long before you poop your pants. And that's basically what having a baby in the car is like.
Right.
You
hold it's it technically as long as you voluntary, can. But suddenly it's kind of not.
And yeah, it's like you just have to get this out because it's excruciating to hold in pushing. So we were driving down Route 1 and I had Waze on my phone and I was looking at it and it was rush hour in Friday morning. And I looked at the time creeping from like, you're 20 minutes away, you're 24 minutes away, you're 29 minutes away. And when it hit 29, I was like, done. I am done. I'm going to push once just to get the feeling out because I'm just going to do it once. And so I pushed once and I was like, oh, that felt so good. And then I was like, and then the next contraction hit like 30 seconds later. And I was like, I'm just going to push one more time. That felt so good. I'm only going to push a little bit. And then I felt his head.
The car's still moving.
The car's still moving. We were in the left lane. And I said, we have to pull over right now. And he looked at me and was like, okay, time's up. We got halfway. And so he pulled into a gravel parking lot at an auto body shop and ran around the side of the car and was on the phone with 911.
You were a little annoyed with Seth for pulling over at this random gravel parking lot in front of an auto body shop. It's
there's
a Target, there's a grocery store, there are better businesses nearby.
Yeah, it was really dusty. It was really dirty. He opened the door and there was like dust flying everywhere. I'm like, there's literally a McDonald's on the corner. Just go to McDonald's. Park in the back of the McDonald's parking lot.
Instead, it's Jeff's garage.
It's Jeff's garage. He wanted me to have privacy, he said, which I appreciate, but there was dust everywhere, and I feel like it wasn't that much to ask to just pull into the back of the McDonald's. So by the time he gets around to the side of the car, I'm already pushing, and I've been pushing for a while, and the head's already out. And I look over, like, my enormous belly, because he was 9 pounds, and I can see that he, like, looks kind of purple. And so I was just, like, pushing with all of my might. And had I been in a hospital setting where I wasn't terrified, it probably would have taken a couple more pushes to push him. But I was just like, I need to get this baby out of me. Like, there's something wrong. And so we push him out, and Seth puts him on my chest, and he's not moving, and he's not breathing. And it was the single most terrifying moment of my life. Like, what have I done? I did something wrong. I shouldn't be on the side of the road. And now I've like delivered a stillborn baby and there's nobody here but my husband and I at 8 a.m. on the side of the road.
What did the 911 operator say?
She was so useless. We were screaming like, he's not moving. He's not breathing. What do we do? And she just kept saying, help is on the way. And that's not helpful. In this moment, that is not helpful. So I remembered a blog post that one of my girlfriends wrote, and I feel like it was like divine intervention that I had this sort of lightning bolt memory in that very heated moment. And I remembered my girlfriend Sarah had an accidental home birth, and her 911 operator was not useless and told her to rub the baby and massage it and just try to jostle it awake a little bit, because he's still sort of he's in your uterus and there's an oxygen flow that way. And so intellectually I knew, like, he's still attached to the placenta, he's getting oxygen, but when you push out a purple, not moving baby, it's terrifying, especially when you're on the side of the road. So we started jostling him and rubbing his back and trying to stimulate him, and it worked. Mm-hmm. And I saw him like move his lips ever so slightly and take a little breath. Mm-hmm. And then he moved them again and took a little bit of a bigger breath. And then I saw his lips turn pink. And at that point I was like, okay, we're okay. Like, he's not dead. I hear the ambulance coming. Like, by the time they get here, I think that we can make it for a couple minutes until the ambulance gets here. And then it turned out to be the police, but by the time the police got out and sort of ambled over, he was breathing and he was like clearly okay. And it was probably only 2 minutes, but it was like the most terrifying 2 minutes of our lives.
All right, we have, wow, way more people than we can fit in for the rest of the show. So when we come back, we're going to do a car birth speed round. Stay with us.
Oh, you have your mouth closed, don't you?
Advertisements.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Welcome back to our Car Births Call-In Spectacular, or, you know, as I've been calling it, the definitive oral history of the state of car births in modern times.
Baby born in my car. Beep, 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 yeah.
Okay, now for our speed round.
We've got Elizabeth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Elizabeth in Los Angeles is a host of her own podcast called Totally Lame, who also had this experience of pulling up to her birth center and walking herself, placenta still in, baby now out, over to her own gurney.
When I was walking into the birth center holding him, I was like, oh, I hope I'm not getting anything dirty, like dripping too much. And they were like, no, you're fine. And my husband was like, meanwhile, you could have water skied on what was coming out of the baseline.
Lauren in Milwaukee. She gave birth in an ambulance.
There was one paramedic who was like totally arguing with me. He's like, pull up your pants. I said, I don't have time for that. I'm not going to do that. And the other guy was just like, do whatever she wants. We got into the ambulance. They said, okay, you're fine. We're going to make it to the hospital. I felt fire. And I was like, no, I have to push. He said, don't. So I just pulled my knees to my stomach. And
I've heard from some other callers tonight that you can't really not push.
There is no power in me where I could not push. Like, I'm going to push. I have no control over this. It just has to happen. Your body just knows. So, yeah, he saw that. He freaked out. He stopped the ambulance, and I grabbed her from my body and pulled her to my chest. He believed me then.
And Jennifer in Los Angeles. She gave her daughter the middle name Sunset because she was born along Sunset Boulevard.
They were like 50-50 on whether or not we could even get a birth certificate because maybe in LA there's some stuff with illegal immigrants and citizenship issues or something. So they agreed to issue a birth certificate because they had to deliver the placenta in the hospital. They could sign up on that, but they didn't, like, they couldn't automatically issue me a social security number for her or something, so I had to take all the hospital paperwork down to the social security office later and be like, she was born in the wild, so that was sort of unusual, I guess.
After we closed the phone lines, we had one quick call to make.
Hello.
It's Hillary Frank, our show's creator and executive producer. We told her that we'd check in when we were done recording.
At dinner tonight, I was telling Sasha, my 8-year-old, that we were doing this and that people were going to be calling in and telling you about giving birth in the car. And she said, is that allowed?
It kind of isn't. As I've learned, you know, like if you give birth in the wild, you have to go through a huge rigmarole with the Social Security Administration in order to get your ID number.
Oh, man.
And a lot of ambulance workers and police officers weren't thrilled to be involved in a car birth.
No, they don't want to come to your rescue.
The other thing you could tell Sasha is that if she wants to start practicing, I know she does own a cardboard car.
All right, I'll tell her to start practicing giving birth in it. She also likes to give birth to her stuffed animals, so it'll all come together.
We have so many people to thank, especially our callers. And two special shout-outs. We want to thank Tiffany in Louisville, Kentucky, who we just couldn't squeeze in. She gave birth on MLK Day this year in a car in the middle of a snowstorm. And we also missed the chance to talk with Lindsay in New Jersey, who told us that she's planning to gift her daughter the car she was born in when she turned 17. All right, we have photos of a few of our car babies up now on our website. You can go see them yourself. That is longestshortesttime.com. And while you're there, we want to hear from you. Tell us how your birth plan took a U-turn in the comments for this episode. That is episode number 157. This show is produced by me, Andrea Salenzi, with Kristen Clark, who has been so helpful in the control room. Thank you, Kristen.
Woo, this is awesome.
Our show's creator and executive producer is Hillary Frank. Hillary, how about next week we do elevator births?
Or love in an elevator.
That's another show.
Yes. That's it.
This week's jingle was made for us by Tracy Potocznik. She's a future guest on the show and sings in the band Cardboard Ox. CardboardOxMusic.com. Our engineer and live phone master extraordinaire is Jared O'Connell, who is with us in the control room right now.
Woohoo!
And we also have great help from Pete Karam. Our technical director is the Reverend John Delore. Our music is performed by HotMoms.gov and directed by Allison Leighton Brown. We get editorial support from Peter Clowney, Antonia Akitunde, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Rekha Murthy, and Julia Wang. Next week on The Longest Shortest Time, a short black chick meets a tall, blue-eyed Viking, and she's gonna rob the cradle.
He's younger than me. He's 6.5 years younger than me, and I think that had a lot to do with it.
We'll talk about the family they created. Do not miss this episode. Make sure you're subscribed to The Longest Shortest Time in Stitcher or your favorite podcast app so you won't miss a thing. And as always, we want to hear stories from you guys. Right now, we're especially looking for surprising stories about single parents getting back in the dating game. Just go to longestshortesttime.com, hit the participate tab, and submit your story.
Woo!
That's a wrap!
I'm delighted that you can have your car declared a biohazard. That just feels like a point of pride, you know?
Hey, Caroline.
Yes?
What do you get when you mix some amazing guests, two hosts with microphones,
I think that's you and me,
and the Statue of Liberty?
A live taping of Unladylike in New York City.
You got it, girl.
Join Kristen and me for Unladylike Live at the Bell House on Wednesday, May 16th.
We'll be doing an unladylike take on beauty with all-star guests comedian Sashir Zameda and writer Gia Tolentino.
Will Caroline's clinical strength deodorant hold up to the task? No, because it hasn't historically. Tickets are available now at thebellhouseny.com. But hurry, they won't last long.
They really won't.
Because my mom is buying them all.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you, Sally.
Please also come.
See y'all there.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.